When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dori Shafrir.
And I'm Kate Spencer.
And we are not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And just a quick reminder that you can visit our website, forever35podcast.com, for links to everything we mention on the show. And please do follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Forever 35 Facebook group where the password is serums.
And we have a voicemail, 781-591-0390. You can text us there as well. Our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com. If you enjoy this show, we greatly appreciate reviews on Apple Podcasts. It helps people find the show. It helps people know what they're getting into. So thank you for taking the time. If you do that, tell a friend. Mention us on social media, follow us on Instagram, Forever 35 Podcast, Twitter at Forever 35 Pod, and let's get this party started.
Let's do it.
Let's get this pod-y started.
Nope.
That was a good one. I think that was great.
I am going to decline that one.
Let's get this pod-y started. Okay. Nope. You reject it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Okay. You know. I'll keep trying.
I appreciate that. How are you doing?
Well, you know, I'm in a chipper mood, Dori. Even though my pun was rejected, because when we're done recording this, I finally have a pop culture thing all my own that I'm getting into.
Oh yeah?
Uh-huh. And that is the Australian Bachelor.
Oh, go on.
You know, I was having, I had a socially distant outdoor friend date with like the one family that we have kind of seen over this quarter.
Yeah.
And my friend was telling me that she watches the Australian Bachelors and Bachelorettes. And I was like, huh. I think she watches like numerous international versions of the franchise besides the American one. Like, I think she might watch Canada. Like, she watches sorts of different versions of The Bachelor.
Sure.
And it just kind of piqued my interest. Also because, like, I weirdly follow some contestants from The Bachelorette Australia, even though I've never watched it. They just are like hot. So I started following them on Instagram. So I was like,
okay.
I can get into Australian Bachelor. So I started the first episode this weekend of the most recent season of the Australian Bachelor.
Uh-huh.
The Bachelor's name is Lockie.
Okay.
Which feels very Australian, but I don't know. I'm American. And it was just like, it was kind of everything I needed. And I enjoyed it. One, the episodes are only like an hour, hour and 15 minutes. And if you watch The American Bachelor, the episodes are like 2 to 3 hours.
They're so long. Too long, in my opinion.
It's too long. It's exhausting. It takes up a whole night. Like, I don't have the time anymore.
Yeah. No. Whoever had the time, quite honestly.
I don't
know.
I mean, I would like to have the time. I enjoy giving my time over to that franchise, believe it or not. But I can't. It kind of just tortures me. But this was only an hour. I just enjoyed Australians. They were just lovely and charming and interesting to like, you know, like one girl was like, why would anyone want to leave Perth? And I was like, I don't know. Because I've never been to Australia. She was kind of like the snob, like who wanted the guy to buy her a Louis Vuitton bag. It was just, you know, like, so I just was kind of enjoying the like learning about Australian pop culture and culture. And it was just delightful. I loved all the contestants. I loved like the slang that I didn't know. Like they all call The Bachelor the Batchy or the Batch, which we don't do in American Bachelor slang. So anyway, it was just kind of like a nice escape. I think also because like, this is going to sound very niche, but the Bachelor world in American Bachelor is so insular at this point. Like they just keep like pulling contestants from the old series to put them on the new series. And like, these were all brand new people to me. I started following them on Instagram, and like most of the contestants aren't already like influencers with 200,000.
Right,
they're
right,
just like
right,
people
right, right. Yes.
With 3,000 Instagram followers, like pretty regular people.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from being like stunningly gorgeous and wanting to be on reality TV. But anyway, it was just like a perfect escape that didn't lead me to be annoyed. Does that make sense? Do you know what
yes.
I mean? Like,
yes, that makes total sense.
I feel like
I don't watch Australian Bachelor, but I have dabbled in some other Australian reality shows and they are delightful.
Yeah. And it was just like, American reality stars are like huge. Like there's this kind of like everyone knows who they are, even if you don't watch the show. So these people were all just total strangers to me, which made it
yeah.
more appealing, even though Lockie, the Bachelor, was on Survivor Australia. So he's known in Australia.
I just looked up Lockie. He's hot.
Lockie's hot, and he's also charming. And in the first episode, he chose like a really kind of like earnest, funny, cool woman, which immediately endeared me to Lockie. So,
I mean, he definitely seems, I have only watched one season of The Bachelor, as you know, but I'm sort of familiar, The American Bachelor. I'm like familiar generally with the people who have been on, sort of. And like already he looks cooler than any of the American Bachelors ever.
Yes, he's got a beard and tattoos. He's just great. I mean, I don't know. This could all change. I'm like, my big plans tonight are to cook some food for the week and while I watch The Australian Bachelor.
I mean, his tattoos are a little tacky.
Tacky or just big?
They are big. They are very big.
I think he has like big ones on his pecs that kind of like take up the whole pec.
Yeah, he has a big chest tattoo that says strength and honor.
Well, those are wonderful qualities for someone to have.
You're a Lockie stan.
I am Lockie's number one American fan. Until he starts to disappoint me, which I'm sure he will. Well, but anyway, it was just like a pleasant escape, Dory.
That's delightful.
So, you know, that's where I'm at. I have a skincare high-low too that I will share. But first, I want to hear how you are doing.
You know, Kate, as I was telling you before we hit record, I had a rather harrowing afternoon/evening where I attempted to replace my computer's battery by myself. My battery was like dying. My computer kept shutting off with no warning if I wasn't plugged into power. And my husband was like, well, if you take it in to get service, you're not going to have your computer for a few days. So just order a battery kit from iFixit and we can like replace it. He's like, I can replace it because he used to work for Apple. He used to be a Mac genius. I was like, okay. So I ordered this battery and like the kit that came with it. And last week, like I asked him to do it and like he didn't. And then he was like all anxious about going back to work. And went back to work today, which was like a whole thing. And finally today I was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it myself. It's very complicated.
Sounds like it.
It's extremely complicated. The longer story shorter is that I almost fried my computer. It was really touch and go for a second. And I was keeping you waiting.
And this was all happening like while we were supposed to be recording.
Yeah. I was like, I'm running late. Still working on my computer.
Fine. I mean, you dealt with me when I through like 2 weeks of broken computer. I mean, this is just, it is what it is, you know?
It is what it is. But, you know, all's well that ends well. I'm on my computer right now. And hopefully it's fine and it won't like explode when I go to bed.
It won't.
So yeah. So other than that, I'm fine. As I mentioned briefly, my husband did go back to work today. He works on a television show and they have started shooting again. So he's on a set, which, you know, is frankly a little terrifying. They seem to have some good protocols in place. And he sent me some pictures from the set today. And like everyone was masked and distanced and blah, blah, blah. They have to get tested 3 days a week. And, you know, they're doing everything, I guess, that is they're supposed to be doing. But like no one knows anything. You know what I mean? Like, we're all just kind of guessing, it feels like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you do the best you can.
Right, but exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I was a little, like, scared about that. But also, I think it was good for him to get out of the house.
Good.
I think we had reached our breaking point of mm-hmm. being mm-hmm. home together. I was really going to a dark place. And I think it was really good for him to get out and not be home and to be working. So feeling good about it in that regard. And you know, knock on wood, he will stay healthy. Everyone will stay healthy. So that's kind of what's been going on with me. I also just want to give everyone an update. I'm halfway through season 3 of Call My Agent.
Wow, that went very fast.
You know, it's going too fast, quite frankly. I'm very sad. I only have a few episodes left, but I did hear that they are shooting season 4.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Anyway, enjoying it. Highly recommend it. Yeah.
Good. All right.
That's where I'm at.
That's where I'm at. Look at us just dabbling in international TV.
We're so cosmopolitan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Literally sitting here in food stained leggings.
Let's talk about your skincare situation.
Okay. Look, thick creams has really just taken on a whole new like thing in my life. I'm creaming obsessively. I've got some new products that I'm trying out right now that I'll talk about on future episodes. But I did want to bring something up, which is that I really feel like I might be becoming a CeraVe stan.
Okay.
So I mentioned previously that I had tried and loved a sample of the SkinCeuticals Triple Lipids Restore Cream. And I had like creased the tiny, like literally like a miniature bottle. I had fold, like pressed it and then I cut it open to get the juices of this cream out.
Okay.
All right. Like it was a real scene in my bathroom. So I finally like bit the bullet and I bought the full thing, which is very expensive. It's $128. You know, full transparency here. It's a fucking shitload of money. And I still really liked it. I was like, this is great. I made sure I read reviews about it. Like I went hard learning about this cream before I bought it because the price tag. So then because we had requested thick creams, CeraVe had come up, and while I was like targeting for home, you know, stuff we needed at home, I added on the CeraVe Skin Renewing Night Cream, which is $13. And
so approximately 10% of what the SkinCeuticals cost.
Yes, Dory. Yes. Say it louder for people in the back. It is a fraction of the price. And here is where shit gets wild. I think I like the CeraVe better.
Wow.
I think it is more hydrating. That there is something that the SkinCeuticals does that like almost occasionally stings my face a little bit, which I've noticed lately that I don't like. So I'm not sure what's going on there. But I think this CeraVe, like I have very dry, like a very dry cheek under eye area, and the bridge of my nose gets very dry, especially if I use a retinol. And the CeraVe, I felt, hydrated my skin better than the SkinCeuticals. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So then I was like, I'm a genius. I've found a dupe. And then, of course, I Googled, and like many people on the internet also have articulated this dupe. Like, this is a common, I think a lot of people search for dupes for the SkinCeuticals, triple lipids. And this is one that has come up again and again. And actually, I found an article, and the person was like, in my favorite Facebook group, Forever 35. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I was Googling, and look, this is so cool. But this person was saying they had read about the SkinCeuticals cream in our group, and then someone had suggested CeraVe. So it's all full circle. But anyway, this CeraVe night cream, $13, baby. And it is really great. It's great.
Wow. So,
to the founders of CeraVe, I salute you. I feel like you make a really great product at a really affordable price. And yeah, I'm going to keep using both. And I've actually dabbled in another cream recently that I'm obsessed with, but I want to keep using it before we talk about it on the air. But I mean, like, there's nothing I can feel better about than a $13. Like, I can buy 10 CeraVes for one SkinCeuticals.
Totally.
What the hell?
Right. So is it 10 times better?
Possibly. I mean, I believe like the CeraVe also has ceramides in it. Like, I think there are some similarities, but I just found it for a dry skin, patchy dry skin person, you know, normal to dry, it was just it's a great like workhorse of a night cream.
That is an endorsement, Kate.
Again, look, I haven't been using it for like 5 months. It's been a few weeks, so I'll circle back. But the price difference like thrilled me. And when I was like using the CeraVe, and I was like, oh my God, do I like this better? I think I do. It feels gentler on my skin. That really just kind of blew me out of the water, Dory.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. So, you know what? It's fun getting to do a high-low product. Look, the SkinCeuticals is delish. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know. I might commit to CeraVe. We'll see.
Okay.
All okay. Right. All right.
This is exciting. Whew. For you.
Like overheating.
Well, I'm this excited because, you know, you're really looking for a thick cream.
Dory, I've got so many creams that I'm trying out right now. Like, we're going to keep talking about creams for the rest of 2020. I mean,
I can't wait.
You know what? We are just going to be, we're going to slide through the rest of this year on our creamed bodies.
Oh, should we mention the cleanser thing that we're doing?
Oh, yeah. We've got a cleanser survey.
We had this kind of wild idea. So we want to do a bracket of cleansers, and then we will crown the king/queen of gender neutral royalty title cleanser at the end.
Yeah.
But we need your help.
We need help. So we, instead of doing like a question on Instagram, we have created a full on Google form.
We're very high tech here.
We are. Look, we're taking it to the extreme. So we have a Google form. You can find it on our website or in the show notes of this episode. Click on it. It's just a couple questions. We want to know what cleanser you're using, what kind of skin you have, what you like about it. And then we're going to tally it up and start going through the info we get.
Yeah. And we're going to have cleansers go head to head. It's going to be great.
I mean, or it could be a total and crazy disaster, but there's only one way to find out, and we have to just do it.
Totally. So I'm excited. So join us for that link. Look for that link in our show notes, and let's get cleansing.
Let's get cleansing, Dory.
All right. Should we take a little break?
Yeah, we've been gabbing up a storm.
We have been yapping up a storm. All right, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we are talking to none other than Project Runway winner.
Oh my gosh.
And overall, super cool person, Ashley Nell Tipton. So we will be right back, and then we'll be talking to Ashley.
Hold up. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. Our guest today is Ashley Nell Tipton. Ashley, welcome to Forever 35. We're so glad you're here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Ashley Let us get started by reading your bio. Ashley's passion for fashion started at a very young age when she learned to sew on her grandmother's sewing machine when she was just 7 years old. She went on to attend Fashion Careers College, where she got her AA in fashion design and technology. And her senior collection at Fashion Careers College was highlighted in the annual Golden Hanger Fashion Awards. She has also showed her collection at New York's Full Figured Fashion Week in 2012. After entering and winning Project Runway in 2015, Ashley signed a contract with clothing retail giant JCPenney to design and be the face of their plus size boutique plus. She has also designed plus size patterns for Simplicity and her own jewelry line for K&M accessories. And Ashley released her first line of apparel and eyewear in November of 2017 and continues to work as a design consultant for other plus size establishments. And she's also currently being heralded for her very stylish face mask design and the cultural expression she's bringing to face protection during this global pandemic we are in. Your masks are so cool, I have to say. I've been checking them out on Instagram.
Thank you.
And we're so glad you are here with us. To get things kicked off, we would like to ask you about a daily or consistent self-care practice that you have in your life.
A consistent self-care that I do every day is cleaning my face. For the past few years, my skin has been something that makes me happy to keep up with. And so taking care of my skin, making sure that I moisturize, I'm just thinking of the routines that I do every day because I never used to be a routine type of person. And I realized that I function great with a routine, and those things that I have in my routine are the things that are self-care. So, you know, everybody has their own type of self-care, but for me, I feel like my skin, having my espresso every morning, and I'm not gonna lie, I wake and bake, so that's my thing.
Wait, I love that you went right to skincare, because, you know, that was kind of the impetus for us starting this podcast a few years ago, was kind of sharing skincare tips and tricks over text message. And I, of course, was on your Instagram looking at your skincare highlight. So let's just go right there to start. Could you take us through some of your favorite products or favorite practices? You had a lot of masks. I noticed you used a lot of Olay. I saw Tatcha water cream pop up in there.
Yes. I love Tatcha's water cream. It's something that just keeps my face hydrated through the day. L'Oreal had sent me this amazing kit where it just had a bunch of face mask for every type of skin. Like if you need something to brighten or to tone, moisturize, hydrate, all these things. And I absolutely loved using their products. I actually finished that whole set they sent me. And that's kind of what really jump-started me wanting to have a regimen every day where, you know, I'm at least cleaning my face at night and every morning, doing a little scrub if I need to, and then having a toner, serum, moisturizer. And then to top it all off, I like to add a tea tree oil on top or some type of oil to allow all the products that I've put on my face to kind of sit in there and my face absorb it.
That sounds like a delicious little practice. Like, I'm just it sounds very, very soothing. And then like the capping off with the oil. How did you land on tea tree? Because that's kind of like a natural astringent.
I used to get facials a lot after I started my health journey. I really went through this like detox of like cleaning out my gut and everything, because I learned that everything we put in our bodies goes through our gut, and our gut is connected to our mind. So if I want my mind to function well, I needed to clean that. And so when I cleansed that, I started noticing how much my face was clearing up, and I just really, really wanted to take care of it. So I was getting monthly facials to kind of clean everything and clean out my pores. And so the person who was cleaning my face told me that tea tree oil would be a great oil to use because I was dry in a lot of areas. And I just felt like that was the oil that my face was absorbing, because anything I would put in my face, I felt like it just was eating it. And I needed something that if it was going to eat it, it was going to be something good for my skin. And ever since then, that tea tree oil has just kept my face so moisturized, not too oily or dry. I feel like it's at the perfect place where I don't have to constantly wear makeup anymore.
Wow.
I'm jealous.
I know.
I mean, my mom always told me to take care of my face when I was young, and I never listened to her. I would go to sleep with makeup all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was going to sleep with makeup on until my mid-30s, just out of like pure exhaustion. I didn't want to deal with it. And
exactly.
It really does make a difference. Like, lo and behold.
Mm-hmm.
Shocking.
Who would have thought of that?
Yeah. Who would have thought going to bed with stuff on your face was a bad idea? Ashley, let's circle back to your kind of storied relationship with fashion. I love the image of you working at your grandmother's sewing machine when you were 7 years old. And then, you know, that moment then went on to carry you through life to take you to winning Project Runway. So could you just kind of give us a brief overview of what first drew you as a small person to fashion and sewing, and what that journey has been like for you?
Being fat my whole life, you know, as a child, really inspired me to want to be a designer. I mean, not at a young age, I knew I wanted to be a designer, but I always had this, I don't know what kind of word to use, but I always was attracted to looking through magazines and seeing what women were wearing and how they looked and imagining how they felt in those clothing. And growing up with an older sister, a way older sister, about like 10 years older than me. So always seeing how she would put on her makeup and do her hair and put her outfit on, and how, she would go shopping just to find the right outfit to go with all these things. And I couldn't wait to have that moment in my life where I had my own money to buy what I wanted. But there wasn't really a market for plus size women, either at my age, that young, being a young teenager, or even in my young adult. Like, there wasn't anything besides Lynn Bryant and Walmart and Target. But nothing was fashion forward. It was, everything was kind of curated for a plus size woman, and you can't go outside of these boundaries that we give you. So I always felt like I was always dressed in dark colors and maybe things that weren't, that kind of made me look more matronly. And I just knew that that wasn't what I wanted. And so at a very young age, I was putting outfits together. And once I started working in retail at the age of 16, I had a job in a plus size clothing store called Torrid. And I loved that there was finally a place for us plus size women to be able to shop. And when I started working with my clients to find them outfits, I realized that there is so much more that needs to happen in this space, in this plus size space. And I had already knew how to sew. And I was like, I want to create clothing. I want to go to school to become a designer. And I kind of tested out the water of designing clothing for my friends who were all different shapes and sizes, and being able to put a smile on their face and for them to see the transformation. I love that process. And that's what made me want to go to school and pursue an education in designing and then a career in it as well.
What was it like to then make the leap onto a show like Project Runway? Was that ever something you thought would be your path?
I never wanted to go on Project Runway.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I remember. I know it's so weird. I remember I was in my first year of college. I was going to a community college here in San Diego, and I was taking a couple courses for fashion design. And I remember the new season of Project Runway was on, and I was watching it, and I saw someone who was from my home, from San Diego, on the show. And I was like, that's not how I want to become famous. But it's cool that he got on the show and everything. And I was like, but that's not how I want to do it. I want to be known for my designs and everything. And then I want to say, fast forward, after graduating college, I received an email to apply for Project Runway. And I basically had the choice to either apply or continuing the journey of trying to build my business. And I felt like I want to build my business first, and then I will apply for Project Runway again if that opportunity comes, because at this very moment I don't think I'm ready for it. And then I would say 3 years later, I received another email from Project Runway, actually 2 days after my grandmother had passed away, who taught me how to sew. I received an email from Project Runway letting me know that the application page was open and that they would love for me to apply. And I remember just reading that email and the grand prize for that season and just thinking to myself, there's no way, like, I can't even envision myself being there. Like, of course, it sounds amazing and I want it, but it feels so much bigger than me. And so I kind of just sat on it, and my family and close friends encouraged me to apply and told me that they would help me with every step of the way. And I was accepted on the show, and everything just changed from that moment on.
Can you talk a little bit about what that experience was like? Were there any negatives to being on the show?
I don't really feel like there was any negative comments besides people believing that they didn't think I should have won. Thinking that I was promoting an unhealthy lifestyle to people. I wasn't a good designer. I mean, there was so many negative comments. I remember the day after I won, or the day after my winning was announced, I remember my manager and my sister, at the time they were both my managers, and they both told me, like, we cannot have you go through social media at this moment, because there's a lot of things that we don't want you to read. And they were only trying to protect me, because I honestly wanted to see everything and want to know what people were saying about me on Project Runway. And I mean, they called me crybaby, sensitive, like dramatic, like all these things, but it was very hard to take it in. But now I really don't care about any of those things they said about me. It's taken me, you know, almost 3 years to get over the fact of how much Project Runway and that experience has traumatized me. But I mean, I think for anybody who goes through a reality TV show, like, if it honestly is who they are in the inside and how they treat themselves in their minds and how they're going to come out of there. And I think I pressured myself so much to do my best that coming out of Project Runway, I was mentally, physically, and emotionally exhausted, that I was numb for a long time and depressed, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you kind of move forward? Was there dealing with numbness or depression? Was there anything that you did to take care of yourself to kind of change that?
I learned about self-care. I decided to see a therapist, which I consider self-care as well. It's the best self-care that you can give yourself, because as humans, we have to realize that we can't always continue relying on ourselves to give us the advice or know what to do. Sometimes we need that person on the outside to be able to bounce our thoughts with and really work them out. And being able to see a therapist for 3 days a week was so helpful.
Do you feel like going on Project Runway made you a better designer? Like, did you learn anything in that realm, or it just kind of helped your career but didn't necessarily help your designing, if that makes sense?
I think it helped me as a designer by stripping everything that I'm used to having and given a blank canvas to go from. There, no artist has that right now, because we're constantly inspired. There's so many things around you. But when you're on Project Runway, they take all of that away from you. You don't have your sketchbook unless they hand it to you at that very moment, and you only have that amount of time with it. You don't have magazines. You don't have radio. You don't have TV. Let's just put it this way. When I went back home after filming all 12 challenges, that was 6 weeks. When I got home, my dad's like, "Did you hear Donald Trump's running for president?" And I was like, "You gotta be fucking kidding me."
Wow.
Like, I leave for 6 weeks and he's running for president right now. Like, that is how secluded we are. So when you're in that environment, you have nothing but the knowledge that you came in with.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's, I think more than anything, fuck the fame that it gave me, whatever. I never went in for that. I told myself that if I was going to go onto Project Runway, or the reason why I want to be on Project Runway was to push myself as a designer to see how far I could go. That's all I wanted. Mm-hmm. I wasn't worried. Like, people would be like, "Are you worried about what other people are going to say about you being on TV?" And I was like, that honestly has not crossed my mind. What has crossed my mind is, how am I going to perform as a designer? Like, I literally contacted my professors from college and was like, "Can I drop in to one of your classes today so that you can give me a recap on how to drape on a mannequin and how to make a sleeve from scratch?" Because if you don't practice those things, you lose it. It's just like riding a bike. So right before I left on Project Runway, I just got my basic knowledge of things that I learned in my first year that I forgot how to do. And I was like, okay, I'm ready. Because you just drape everything. When you're on Project Runway, they don't give you any basic patterns, meaning any silhouettes to go off of. You're stripped from everything. All you have is your tools and the material that you purchase, and that's it. You don't have a book to, "Oh, how do you do this design?" It's all from your head.
Wow.
So yeah, I definitely say it made me a better designer, knowing like, okay, Ashley, if you don't have this and this and this, you got to think fast. Right. You got to think fast. You can't dwell. And that was my personal challenge to myself, was getting inspired, having the motivation to keep going, and finding solutions. Mm-hmm. Like, being a MacGyver, I'm so glad that my dad has passed that gift to me of like, you give me something and I will make something out of it.
Yeah.
So I really felt like that truly helped me in so many ways. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that season, but there was an episode where we had to take electronics and make a fashion forward look that was going to go into an editorial. And I had picked up cases of Polaroid film. And I was like, what am I going to do with this? And I ended up started breaking up all the Polaroids out of the containers and realized that I was damaging these blank Polaroids that turned into something beautiful. And I ended up being on the top of that challenge. And it was just, you know, I guess what it is just knowing who you are as a designer and being able to mold yourself into what the challenge is consistently every week.
It sounds really
no wonder you were having anxiety dreams long after that.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Now let's talk a little bit about what your life has been like since as a designer, especially in the world of designing for plus size people. You went on to have your own line. What has been your experience since then as a designer?
I mean, winning Project Runway as a plus size designer, not only was I winning, but this whole plus size community, the community of people who always felt different or not accepting, we finally won. And that was like the biggest celebration for us, because finally the misfits or who, like the people who are just not accepted or isn't what is fashion. Like we were finally being seen and heard that we want to be a part of fashion. We want fashion. And so after that, I mean, I really felt like me winning Project Runway couldn't have happened at a more perfect timing, because this is when people were finally seeing plus size in the fashion world. And after that, I felt like it was this trickle down effect where a lot more brands were being size accepting and upping their size charts and things like that. And in the past 5 years since I've won the show, I've seen how much this plus size community has grown and have become more mainstream. Like being able to have celebrities design collections for plus size women. I mean, having Kristen Siriano design a collection with Lynn Bryan for plus size women. Like we have gone so much more. And we've just became so much bigger in this community, and the fashion world has been more accepting of us here. So it's been this beautiful transformation that I am so happy and so proud to be a part of, and to see it continue grow, because there is so much work to be done, not in the fashion industry, but with ourselves and accepting ourselves the way we are and not allowing society to tell us what we should be doing or how we should be doing this and what we should be looking like. So I think there's a lot of work that still needs to go into it, but I'm so happy to see how much we've grown over the past 5 years.
Yeah, it's really amazing and really inspiring. I'm wondering what people can do who might not be plus size to advocate for plus size fashion. I guess I'm thinking in particular about the quote unquote fat tax, where designers charge more for plus size clothes. I'm wondering how can we fight this? I mean, this is clearly unfair. And how can we also advocate for designers to expand their size ranges?
I mean, as of right now, fast fashion is taking over bigger name brands. I'm not going to lie, because of fast fashion happening, I have taken a pause on designing plus size clothing, because financially you can't do it as an independent designer when these Fashion Nova, Forever 21, Zara, Topshop, all these places, Shein, like we're losing customers because customers are buying clothes. What is it? The fashion trends are constantly changing so quickly that fast fashion is hurting the fashion world and is constantly putting out new things so much more quicker that fashion trends are becoming more of a fab or fad. Is that how you say it?
Fad.
Yeah. So it's like losing its value. So people don't want to buy things that are timeless or things that you're investing money into because you're going to have. They just want to buy clothing for what's in at the very moment. And to be honest, I kind of got tired of that. And I was like, I don't, that's not what I got into this industry for. I got into this industry because I saw that there was a need and I wanted to help that. And I did it. And my job is done. I mean, maybe there'll be more later, but for now, I have made the decision to be able to move on to doing something that brings happiness to me. And that is being able to help people find self-acceptance, self-love, self-care, all those things. Everything that your podcast is about, like, I really want to grow in this space and grow with my audience and be able to teach them so much that I've learned.
Do you feel that you're, you know, I think it's really interesting that you've started designing masks during this pandemic. Is that part of it for you? I mean, does that have kind of a, obviously there's, it incorporates design and fashion. It's definitely self-care to wear a mask.
Yes.
And then there's a connection to kind of giving back too, I imagine.
Exactly. That's so the mask thing. I really didn't think that this is the direction that we were going to go, but we learned back in November that there was a virus and we were about to sign a contract with a company that designs prom dresses and wedding gowns. And I was going to get into that field because that was one of my first dreams, was to be able to design wedding gowns. And they manufacture in China, and they were about to, the company was about to take their annual trip to China to go to manufacturers and check on everything. And they had to cancel their trip because of this virus. And they were updating us on what was going on there before the media had any idea. So we were basically getting this information. We're like, wow, like the media is not really talking about this, or they are, but they're not making it a big deal, but it's huge in China. And what does this mean for us? You know, what does this mean for all of our international goods that we get coming to United States? Like, if this is just stopping me from signing a contract to manufacture out there, then what does this mean for everybody else who does business? Or what's going to happen to our health? And I started seeing, like, as the months go by, slowly I start to see more and more people panic about this virus and putting masks on and gloves. And I was like, you know what? We have so much fabric laying around. This is our transition where we're like, okay, we're going to stop designing. We're going to possibly continue teaching more sewing classes. So we had tons of fabric for our students. And then when the whole giving each other distance, social distancing was happening, I was trying to figure out a way that I can help my community be at ease, because I felt like everyone was like a chicken with their heads cut off, not knowing what to do. Like, do we stock up on toilet paper or what do we do? So I really wanted to help. And I started making masks overnight. Like, we didn't think that it was going to do anything. I thought maybe I'll just sell a couple hundred here, there, donate some. I saw that there was a couple of hospitals locally that needed masks. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to do this for the time being. You know, just, I want to help out. I love this process. And then we started seeing how San Diego was passed in a law that you had to wear a mask, and our cells went through the roof, and we were having orders every day overwhelming. And I was like, this has become way bigger than I ever thought, but I'm enjoying every minute of this process. And also being able to give jobs to my family, like my mother, my father, my brother, friends, they all lost their job. And I was able to provide jobs for people. And it felt amazing to be able to, one, donate masks to people on front lines, also be able to give jobs to people who've lost their jobs. And it just felt like this circle of helping that was just kept going. And we never stopped. We haven't stopped ever since, you know, this pandemic has happened. We've just kept producing masks that would bring joy to people. Like, we have to wear masks. We don't know how long we're going to have to wear them, but why not enjoy wearing them? Why not have them match our outfit or say some type of messaging that we want to present? You know, this is just another way of self-expression, self-care, self-love.
That's beautiful, Ashley. I love to give me Thank chills.
You. Thank you.
Oh, man, this has been such a delight to get to connect with you. Where else can our listeners find you and your work?
You can find me at AshleyNellTipton.com and social media sites, Ashley Nell Tipton and Ashley Nell Tipton Designs.
Well, this has been so great to connect with you. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Ashley.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article. And I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Oh. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. And you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Dory, I loved our conversation with Ashley so much.
I did, too. She's so cool.
Yeah, she was just
like, one, first of all, I love anyone who is going to share new product recommendations with us.
Yes.
But I just, like, it felt like she had such a thoughtful approach to, like, her philosophy for living life and going through the world, which I'm always so impressed by, but, like, especially by someone who's, like, 30. You know what I mean? Like, it just is all, it just was really refreshing and inspiring to get to talk to her.
I could not agree more.
Also, like, I love hearing about what it's like being on reality TV.
I know. I love a little behind the scenes.
BTS.
BTS. I thought it was so interesting what she talked about, how she talked about how Project Runway kind of made her a better designer because she had to, like, she could only, like, use what was in her head.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting too. Which I would have been like, well, I'm out. We day one.
Exactly.
I've used all of it. Well, Dory, how did your Fancy Friday intention go?
You know what, Kate? It went great. I did it.
I know. You wore a lovely little outfit. You had makeup on?
I wore a dress. I had makeup on. I blow dried my hair. I have to tell you, it felt really weird to be putting on makeup. Like, really weird. I was like, I look weird. Like, it looks like I have so much makeup on. But then
yes.
I feel like I took a picture and people were like, oh, your skin looks great. And I was like, I have foundation on.
This is the secret.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was funny. And so I blow dried my hair, which I don't do anymore regularly because why? And I realized that right now what I do is I get out of the shower, I like kind of comb through my hair, and then I'll usually put it like in a braid or in a bun. I don't even really let it dry down because Henry's always like pawing at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did not realize that my hair had gotten really long.
It's like, yeah, I get it. You wake up one day and you're like, who is this?
Yes. I was like, when did that happen? So that was funny to suddenly realize that I have really long hair. I mean, look, I know people have like much longer hair than I do, but for me, my hair is very long.
You are like your own Crystal Gale.
Essentially, yes. But yeah, it hasn't been this long. I think since I was probably like 25 or 26. So like basically 100 years ago.
Dude, that's wild. And it,
I know.
The picture you sent, it's like full on. It is long.
It's long. Yeah. So, you know, I would say Fancy Friday was a success.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. So I'm going to do it again this Friday.
Okay. Okay. Wow. And
again, if anyone would like to join me, please feel free.
I didn't swing it.
That goes for you also.
I don't know if I'm there yet, but.
That's fine. No crush. Fancy Friday. See, the thing about Fancy Friday is like, you can do it. You cannot do it. It's up to you. It's only there to make you feel good. It's not there to pressure you.
It's not a judgmental.
It's not a judgmental thing. It means whatever you want it to mean.
Okay.
If Fancy Friday means like putting on a prom dress and 6-inch heels, great. If it means like putting on a bra, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it means what it is to you.
Exactly. Fancy is in the eye of the beholder.
Wow, you sound very zen about this.
I mean, look, we've been in lockdown for
I know.
A really long time.
It's like 6 months.
So I gotta take these things where I can. You know?
Oh, I get it. I get it.
I will say my husband either didn't notice or did notice and just didn't say anything.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, well, you know what? I'm not doing it for you.
No, you're fancy for yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. So that was last week. This week, I want to meditate before I go to sleep.
Okay. I'm interested in this.
Just like a 5-minute wind down meditation. Just to sort of calm my brain. I don't have trouble falling asleep, but I do feel like sometimes my brain is still a little like racy. You know what I mean?
God, yes. I know what you mean.
So I think I'm going to do that this week.
Great.
What about you?
Okay. Well, I have to say, like, I'm so tickled anytime listeners reach out to us. It like really makes me, it warms my heart in a way that I'm not even quite sure how to express. I know you feel the same way. Like,
oh yes.
It just is. It's such an honor. And so all these people sent me the AOC Vogue Beauty Secrets video that came out like right after I had mentioned that my
Timing was amazing.
It was literally like the next day. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez released, or, you know, Vogue. She did a video with Vogue about her red lip, and it's a beautiful video. And she talks about self-love. And I found it like, I just think she's brilliant and so inspiring. And I loved every freaking second of it. I will mention it on our next mini episode because it will be the activity for the week. It's just so good. It's so good. So that was a treat. I'm going to keep watching them. That is an intention that never dies for me right now. So
intenties never say die.
Yeah. Intenties never say die. Cyndi Lauper is going to write us a theme song for that soundtrack.
Oh, if only.
Oh, okay. Man. So we are.
What a lot of 80s
references on this episode this week.
Well, you know, we're old.
We are old. We're really old. Okay. So here's kind of a weird one. And this was born out of my intention, or what I was thinking as I was meditating on this topic, is I am trying to figure out ways in which my children can process the experience we're having right now. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, my family is in such a fortunate position throughout this pandemic in that, like, we have a roof over our heads, we have school, we have access to the things we need, and our employment is still intact. Like, the health of everyone in our family is good. Like, we are at the like upper echelon of like, everything's okay. And we're still deeply struggling. And I'm still worried about the long-term impact on this on my kids. You know, this is happening
totally
at times in their lives where they're going to remember it. It's affecting all sorts of things. And I was trying to think of like, how can I help them process it and capture what this was like for them? Mm. And also do so in a way that helps them remember what this experience was like.
Yeah.
You know, like, they aren't going to journal every day as much as like I try to suggest that to them all the time, and they just roll their eyes. But I did have the thought of maybe creating like a project, like a little time capsule, where we write letters to like our future selves and describe what this is like, and put in some like some things that might kind of describe the experience, and then just save it and, you know, pitch it to them as a time capsule, but also do it as a way to kind of help us all kind of work through what's going on and find a way to kind of just put it into words and maybe make it quote unquote fun, and also a thing that like we could look back on in 20 years.
As someone with a master's degree in history, I love this idea. I love an artifact.
Oh my God.
I love a time capsule.
Well, two of my best friends from college actually have been friends since elementary school. And when they were in middle school, they made a time capsule and they dug it up when they were in their 30s. Yeah. And it was like it was something they'd always talked about. It was very special for them. And it's always struck me as very cool. So
that is so cool. I wish I had done that.
Well, you could do it now.
I could. You're right. I could. But I wish I'd done it when I was like 10.
I know. You know? I know. No, I definitely do. So that was something. I mean, if anyone has done this ever, not just during COVID-19, I would be very curious.
You might not have thought about this yet, but what artifacts would you put in?
I don't know. Like, probably like a newspaper. Like, I don't even know what we would put in it.
Yeah.
You know, like if there's like my kid's favorite thing, like you can't put YouTube into a fucking time capsule.
Or like Zoom.
I know. We would just have to put like a Chromebook into a time capsule be like, try opening this in 30 years.
That's actually kind of genius.
Putting a Chromebook into a time capsule?
Chromebook and a power cord in a time capsule.
Oh, God.
would give me a panic attack
like
if I
booting it up.
Oh, can you fucking imagine? Any parent who has had to boot up a Chromebook recently.
I mean, I'm sure people don't have like extra Chromebooks lying around to put in a time capsule, but like,
no, God,
that would actually be super cool.
Well, if anyone's done a time capsule or has thought about some weird like way to capture this moment that also kind of helps us deal with it,
yeah,
and process it,
yeah,
holler at me. You don't need to have kids. It doesn't need to, like, because this is for me too, you know, and my husband. Like, this is hard for all of us. So you need not have kids to make a time capsule.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's a very long-winded intention, but that was kind of where I landed this week.
I love it. I love it. Kate, I love it.
Well, Dory.
Yes, Kate.
Good luck meditating tonight.
Thank you so much. Good luck time capsuling.
I'm probably going to watch The Australian Bachelor. I'll put a picture of Lockie in my time capsule.
There you go. Now you're thinking.
I could put like a little cream in my time capsule.
Oh, yeah. Like a little, like a sample size.
Yeah. Yeah. A little sample size. Just to honor this experience.
I love it.
Well, listeners, thank you as always for listening. We love you.
We do. And we'll talk to you on Friday, on Fancy Friday.
Oh my God. Wait. Oh yeah, we will. It will be Fancy Friday. Okay.
It will be Fancy Friday.
Maybe I'll dress up for that recording.
I mean, again, no presh.
No presh. Dory, without further ado, we do need to remind everyone that the show Forever 35 is hosted and produced by you and I, Dory Shafrir and Kate Spencer, and it's produced and edited by Sammy Junio, and Sam Reed is our project manager. Thanks again, everyone.
Bye.